You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
We want people to bow to us, to genuflect when we walk into rooms. We want someone like the doorkeeper at the House of Representatives who comes in a few steps before the president and says, Mr. Speaker, or in this case, Madam Speaker, the President of the United States. And in he comes, shaking hands and smiling and joking with those that are favorites. And the church has become that way. We now must treat the religious leaders with the same distinction as worldly potentates. Why? It is Christ who is entitled to honor, not me. Yes, the office that I hold is sacred, but the man in the office is not sacred. I belong to God, but I'm not to be worshiped. I'm not to be lifted above my peers. I am your servant. God didn't call me to run your life. He called me to wash your feet. And so what is God saying to us through this scripture in 1 Peter 4? That those that are righteous must experience chastisement and discipline. Discipline is never pleasant when we are going through it. I did not smile when my parents guided and shaped my character. It was not a pleasant thing to have my character formed. I wanted to do what everybody else did. I wanted to be like my peers. But my parents had other ideas. But I tell you this, it was because of their ideas that I stand here in front of you now. And I do not have a permanent ministry at a state correctional facility. I would debate any modern leader who says that disciplining a child breaks their spirit. I would tell them they are wrong. For God says that there must be discipline of our children, then I guess there must be discipline for his. No, I'm not talking about those Pentecostal things that say God is going to tear up your car or cause your refrigerator to die. No, that's just foolish perceptions designed to get your money. But God longs for fellowship. He aches to sit with us. When you read in the book of Genesis how he came down to engage Adam in conversation. This went on regularly. I know that the presentation in the Bible makes it appear that Adam didn't stay with God for a week. But there's no substantive theological proof to justify that hypothesis. We don't know how long Adam functioned with God. All we know is Moses gives us the highlights. But we know that there had to have been some continuing form of fellowship. Because the word of God declares that God came down at the same meeting place. And Adam was not there. This intrigued God. He said, Adam! Oh, this bothers me. All of you pragmatists, you understand what I'm saying. How can an omniscient God ask for your location? You know where I am. What is it that you're looking for? A confession. I want you to know that you are where you should not be. Adam, where are you? I heard your voice. And I was afraid. Oh my God. Often when people preach that great passage, they forget that segment. I heard your voice. And I was afraid. How many of you are afraid of God? Afraid to hear his voice? No, this was not the fear that comes because you are standing in front of an awesome God who is a consuming fire. This was the fear that came because he realized he did not do what he was supposed to do. Are you afraid to hear from God? Have you replaced the voice of God with your own? You see, in Pentecost, we hear God all the time. It's very frustrating to be a leader in a Pentecostal church because God sets the church up to fail. He gives the leader instruction, then tell everybody else something else. Well, he got the right one here. Because I'm like, go ahead. It don't bother me. One of my mentors, Dr. Wes Pennock, said to us in a class, he said, look, when somebody comes to you and said God told them, you're out of it. You can't argue with them. And so how do you deal with this growing separation from the voice of God? My pastor appointed a man into the deaconate, and I did not agree. Can you believe that? I didn't agree with him. But I was smart enough not to go to him. So I went to the front row where the deacon sat. No one else was in church, and I knelt there. I said, God, how can you let him put that person in the deacon and his life is not right? I was being self-righteous and arrogant, egotistical. I said, God, how did you let him do that? I told you I only heard God's audible voice about five times. This was one of the five. He said, I don't owe you an explanation. You're not the pastor. Hey. I got up and said, all right, I'm done. The man went on to become an effective deacon, and then God called him into ministry, and he planted a church in Delaware and became a very, very sincere, effective servant of God. Had God listened to me, we would have kept him under our heel, and what God made him to be would have never been realized. There's a reason that God puts a person in leadership. It's so you don't have to struggle with voices. I can tell you that when I sat in the pew under my pastor, I never worried about what God was saying. That was his job. I didn't even need to hear from God. I had him. Whatever he said, if he said we're fasting, that's what God wants me to do. He wants me to fast. He had a day where we came in to fix up the church. I said, that's what God wants because he said it. I'd sit second row aisle. Just so I can hear what God was saying. I never had to hear anything else. My prayer life was not laborious. It was fun. Because I knew all I had to do was listen to my pastor. I got every answer that I needed. When I heard the voice of God say, find a building and start a church. I went to my pastor. I said, are you in agreement with this? Because if you're not, I'm not doing it. I said, yes, God told me to do it. But unless you approve it, I'm not going anywhere. He said, give me 3 days to pray. Called me after two and said, go ahead and move forward. I said, I ain't moving without public sending. No one will think I walked out of a side door. You see, it's time for us to be disciplined, to understand what God means when he says things in this Bible. That we're not left to our own capricious desires, pulling on God to satisfy our personal longings without careful understanding of the sovereign will of God. You see, that's one of the problems in Pentecostal expression. We think we can get a group of people together and bum rush God, push his arm behind his back, pull it up into a hammerlock, and make him do for us. I'm glad I'm a Presbycostal. I believe in the sovereign will of God that what he wants to happen will happen and he will give me the grace just to accept it. Hallelujah. The prayer from St. Francis of Assisi, God grant me the serenity to accept things that I cannot change and the courage to change things that I can, but most importantly, wisdom to know the difference. And so I stand before you today as your brother, as your fellow servant, calling you back to that intimate time with God to kill your Jezebel that you have placed on a throne, innocuously so, unwittingly so. It's not ostentatious or showy. It's just secretly in your heart. Maybe it's your ministry that has become your Jezebel. Something has caused you to pull away from God. The intimate moments of hand-holding, they're not there anymore. God is now just a blessing pimp. Only time you're going to hear from me, Lord, is when I need something. God, I need you to do this. I'll come to church, but I don't know why. It's ritualistic. We become offended easily by those around us, failing to realize that everyone has a past. Failing to realize that if God graced you, he's gracing them. And just as you desired people to have patience with you, you have to have patience with others. I need you to understand how God sends judgment, not the judgment that cast you into the lake of fire, but the discipline of a Christian life. To this end, the Apostle Paul tells the church at Corinth, come out from among them and separate yourself. Not because you're better, but because you're different. Resist the chameleon-like attitude that is resident in all of us that longs to be what I behold. And if we are not careful, the modern media of televisions and radios will cause us to become just like the world that we are called away from. Amen. Amen. When a group of people separate from harmonious relationship with God, they become self-sufficient. They believe that whatever's going on in their lives is because of their effort. That the blessings that you have are coming from you and your efforts. We have taken the scripture, giving honor to whom honor is due, way into left field. And I think we're giving too much honor. One of my doctors said, Mr. Lambert, he told me how good things were in my reports. And I said, well, thanks, doc, for giving me the advice and things. I said, I do everything you tell me. He said, yeah. He said, God heals you, but I send you the bill. And yet we thank the doctor. How many of us in here can honestly say that I took the time to give God thanks for where I am? That I've come to the unsettling reality that whatever I have came from the benevolent hand of God. Was it not the Apostle Paul who said to the arrogant church of Corinth, what do you have that you did not receive? And if you received it, why do you boast as though you never received it? I call your attention to that grand book of 1 Kings when the prophet Elijah drops down, coming from Gilgal, a difficult place, a place of hardness, a place without good vegetation. It seems that God always shapes his prophets in places where there is no comfort. Because the life of a prophet should be without consistent comfort. The life of the prophet should be a life of yielding to God and not the need for the accolades of man. Satan has successfully, clandestinely, strategically, and tactfully pulled our prophets from places of sacrifice to places of honor. And so that's why we're not getting messages of correction. We're getting messages of blessing. Because for the first time in the history of the prophetic message, prophets are getting money for what they do. And believe me, money changes your message. So when God brought this man down and sent him to Ahab, Israel was in the throngs of a very, very significant time. The plans were being realized for greatness. They had significant rainfall that was causing the crops to grow like crazy. The people were walking in blessing. Houses were being built. Families were successful. There was peace from their enemies round about. But they had forsaken the Lord. And so when there's no God, Jehovah, there, then to whom do they give credit? Baal. Someone would inevitably say that once we accepted Baal, then look at all the good things that's happening. It's like our current president. Everything was bad before he got in. Now it's all good. He said that we would have had a war with North Korea had he not been elected. Well, it looks like we're going to have one soon. And I'm not here to chastise our president. The Bible says we should pray for those that are in authority. And I'm the last person to ever run down a leader. But by the same token, we need to understand that everything that is happening by the sovereign will of God. And while we may not agree with certain domestic policies, we must agree that he is an accelerator of prophetic things. His acceptance of Jerusalem as the capital fulfills the Zechariah prophecy that all the world will know who Jerusalem is. No other president did that but this one. He's an accelerator. Now we can start getting ready to get out of here because the prophecies are being fulfilled. But there's always a small group of people, a remnant, if you will, who hold on to Yahweh, who hold on to his reality, who refuse to bow a knee to Baal. Baal was the god that Jezebel brought in that caused the people to turn from the true and living God. He was an idol made of wood. He looked like men's genitalia. And in every instance, alongside of Baal was the goddess Ashtoreth. And she looked like a woman's genitalia. And so there was significant sexual immorality as part of the worship of these two idols. Israel, having been rescued by God from 400 years of bondage, found themselves drawn to Baal and Ashtoreth. But yet the mercy of God is still flowing. Now the people begin to shift allegiances. They see that Baal is bringing them prosperity. They see that Baal is bringing them blessings. So let's abandon God. Against this backdrop, here comes the voice of a man that no one expected, who comes with boldness. There will not be any rain until I say so. And walks right out and leaves Ahab with his mouth wide open. Who's that? God supernaturally provides for him at a brook called Kirith. At the brook, he drank water and ravens, unclean birds. God uses the unclean. Brought him food twice a day. This was the first room service. Twice a day, he's bringing him the first Uber Eats. Ahab is frustrated. Jezebel, frustrated. Their prophets cannot fix this problem. Democrats can't fix our problems. Republicans can't fix our problems. Governors, senators, mayors, congressmen, presidents cannot fix our problem. Our problem is sin. Our problem is we've departed from the one true and living God, and we have installed false gods in his place. And now, my beloved brothers and sisters, what the Lord is doing in the world is allowing us to have the fruit of the gods we've chosen. We've called for these gods. God said, fine, Call on Muhammad, you Muslims. He's dead. Call on Confucius, you Easterners. He's dead. You Greek philosophers, call Socrates, Plato, and Aristotle. They're dead. But Jesus, he's alive. He's the only major founder of a religion who got up from the dead. He's the only one who died and rose. And I serve a risen Savior. So why are we giving allegiance to Baal? Why are we serving Baal when we should serve the living God?
We pray that you were blessed and encouraged by the message you heard today. To order today's message, call 215-885-2585. When ordering, refer to the program title,
The Purpose of the Church,
or the program number
03319A.
If you'd like to view the Climbing Higher daily telecast, tune in to WBPH TV on Comcast Cable Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Please check your local cable listings for the channel number in your region. To stream Bethel Sunday services live, visit BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app on iTunes or Google Play. We stream live on Sundays beginning at 8:15 a.m. and 12 p.m. You're also invited to join us in person by attending any of our Sunday services taking place at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m. at our main sanctuary located at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, PA. For more information about Bishop Lambert and Bethel Deliverance International Church, follow us on social media through Facebook and Instagram, or contact us at 215-885-2585. Thank you for tuning in today. Keep climbing higher in the Word of God.
The Bethel Deliverance International Fellowship of Churches invites all women to Women's Conference 2019. Daughters of the King, wear your crown, Friday, May 17th and Saturday, May 18th. Come and join us for 2 days of praise, worship, and life-empowering workshops from dynamic speakers. Joining us on Friday evening at 7 o'clock p.m. will be Evangelist Joyce L. Rogers, founder of Primary Purpose Ministries Incorporated of Carlton, Texas. On Saturday, beginning at 8:30 a.m., there will be a special panel discussion featuring the women's pastors of Bethel Deliverance International Fellowship of Churches. The mid-morning and afternoon sessions will be facilitated by guest presenter, Pastor Latera Ruffin from the Life Empowerment Church of Moreno Valley, California. All sessions will be held in the sanctuary of Bethel Deliverance International Church, located at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. The deadline to register is Friday, May 3rd. Registration is available online at BethelDeliverance.org. For more information, call 215-885-2585. That's 215-885-2585. Ladies, don't miss this uplifting time of praise, worship, and life-transforming teaching from anointed women of God, Friday, May 17th and Saturday, May 18th. Plan to join us and register today.
Plan now to join Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. in Bethel Deliverance International Church as we celebrate Jesus our King. Come out for our Good Friday service on Friday, April 19th at 1 o'clock in the afternoon as we observe the price that Jesus paid for our sins. 2 days later, we'll gather again for our Resurrection Day services as we lift up our risen Savior on Sunday, April 21st at 6 a.m. and 10 a.m. All services will take place in Bethel's main sanctuary, located at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. So come out and celebrate the sacrifice of our glorious King Jesus.